Okay, so Ion's here. You guys can have at Ion.
Hi, Ion. I have a question for you.
Hey, Wendy, let's establish a new protocol. No saying hi, Ion. No saying greetings. When we get going along and we're talking, that interrupts the flow and the speed. The idea is to say stuff as fast as possible among yourselves and keep Ion interested. Don't bring up yourself or salute Ion. That breaks up the rhythm.
Okay, Ion.
Does the cell?
No. Wendy. Hey, who's that rude person? Wendy had the question, all right? Don't be a fucking idiot.
Have any of the JWs met in the physical face-to-face, and is there a benefit or a disservice if this happens where you meet your double?
No.
No to both questions? JW has
no, no. That. Yes, a lot of them have run into them themselves. They're constantly tripping over themselves.
Have they spoken to each other?
Yes.
How many of them are there currently?
11.
When they are engaging in conversation, do they make plans like you do this today and I'll do that?
No, it's always like deja vu. Wait a minute, this is already done. I just went to do this. It's already done. Wait a minute, this is supposed to be over here and it's over there.
Okay.
Who's been messing with the stuff?
And there's no disservice to meeting your double. Like, that's a meme I've heard.
No, except it really will foul up a trading account. Between the JWs, you can't hide the, like, different passwords and different accounts. So he'll get the idea to put in a contract to buy an order. Well, it'll already be done. So many is the day that one of them will check and they'll find there are 9 or 10 orders for the same order 10 times. And, of course, that's a mistake, but most times it's not a mistake and all of them get executed. And it's pretty amazing. But still, if that was not the intention for all of them, then you better not tell any of them. Because they just likely not do it 10 times.
Okay. And can a double of yourself share? No? Okay, not share a body? So, like, you go to sleep at night and one of your other selves changes places with you?
It can change places, but not in the same body. One can get up out of bed, and another one can go to bed. That's happened. Bob's run into that many times.
Okay,
but it's not swapping within the body. It's not swapping within the body.
So there's an actual physical change. It's a different physical body getting up in the morning than the one that went to bed.
Mm-hmm. Are you in correspondence with brokers in Florida?
Yes, certainly.
I need help.
And fixers. Fixers, too.
And do you recommend them?
No.
Ion, is there a better scenario for multiple JWs or even multiple of any of us as far as having that the deja vu experience? Can our...
Who the fuck knows what you're saying? Can't you make it simple and use the 6 degrees of separation? That's okay.
Well, it seems like Ion was explaining there was an issue with the deja vu and things getting done multiple times.
No,
and that
no,
may not...
Not a problem. It's not a problem. The issue is you may have 10 orders for 10,000 shares of something, and the chip body doesn't know the difference, so it takes them all. So he very maniacally, all of them, double-check each other maniacally to make sure that 9 others aren't doing the same thing that one had done.
And is there a way for them to be able to avoid that?
Check them. Check it. If you got 11 of you, you got enough to cover. So check it. Do what you do, but check it.
and you use the term chip body with regard to their transactions.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any checks and balances going on there, but is there a difference between the cloud and the chip body in that respect?
There is a bit of difference. See, here's the problem with him, with all of them, is their checks are good. So there's no trouble from that side of placing 10 orders within the chip body or the chip body having an activation. Within the cloud, it can move thumbs as it needs to move thumbs. So moving a transaction from the cloud in the chip body is what would engage the actual academia that places the information in a data stream that's picked up by the carbon in the cloud. So the chip body in this case would be the interaction of, oh, this is up, oh, this is down, oh, do this, oh, don't do this, oh, buy this, sell this, long this, short this, Peter Beater went to town scenario. But once it goes to the cloud, then it's done. And the transactions are so quick, that's why all the JWs have to check. Because if it's a good idea, if one likes it, they all like it.
Could you talk some about backtesting?
About what? Say the word clearly.
Backtesting.
Backtesting?
It's not as much fun as front testing.
What's backtesting, Robert?
It's measuring the metrics up from maybe 6 months back. So front testing is more predictive and being futuristic about what's going to happen.
Yeah, more fun. Futuristic is just a past now that hasn't caught up to you yet.
Are you using robots and macros to help you?
They're available to us, but we don't require them.
What about for people who work here?
They have access to them, too, and they use them. It's aperture science.
So it's necessary.
Yes. Bob?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm the belly fringe, Nina Sharp belly episode, where Global Dynamics is running into the different tiers of they own this and they own that, they're running this and they're running that, and Walter gets to find certain things and access to certain things that were his all along that he didn't know he had. Do you remember the one? It's where you see Nina's arm for the first time.
Okay, Bart or Madeline or anybody, please take on that task for me. I'm very busy here.
That's the point. And when you find that, that'll explain sort of what a lot of the JWs run into with things, because they're busy. They're really busy because they know stuff. And in knowing stuff, they do stuff. And in doing stuff, they're profoundly able to get things done. Now, staff and working those close ones to them know sort of the skinny. Does that make sense? They kind of know. So they're on it, and they don't question it, and they know. One of the JWs takes Splenda in his coffee. None of the others do. And so they know if it's a blah, what is this, that's a different JW. But some of them on the inside that see them all the time would know that. That's huge, because that's one of the only tells that you can tell the difference. All the other mannerisms are just like every other day. They go up and down like a window shade. But that's one difference that one JW takes Splenda in his coffee. So the insiders would know that, and they kind of act a little different, a bit different. And that's noted, noticeable. Now, other people that work for them don't have a clue and just do the work. Because if they don't do the work, they're going to get fired.
Would someone in the room be able to witness the physical interchange?
Yeah, Bob has. This happened to Bob a couple of times when we were doing the symposium in
Lawrence, Kansas. Burroughs' hometown, William Burroughs.
So, yep. Bob, you saw one JW walk in the room and the other one, where'd the other one go?
They went outside, and I caught the JWs out in the driveway who were taking a parent's smoke break, peering in to see when their cue was to come back in. I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a case where somebody just doesn't want to see it, so it's happening, and, like, people who just block their minds to it?
Oh, like, you mean like the major cause of traffic accidents in automobiles?
Okay, so people are just ignoring it. It's happening in front of us, and we're not seeing other people interchanging.
You don't even look at the lights anymore. You just respond. When everybody goes, you go. When everybody stops, you stop the light. The synesthesia of the light does not even affect you. It's great fun. You want to have some fun? Put Bob in a car. He won't drive it, of course, but put Bob in a car. He sees everything. Drivers don't.
I don't drive. I aim.
Right. His handicap has improved since he got his Big Bertha driver.
This ties in with what your friend was saying, Bob.
Yes.
Well, you know, the alloy wheel, and I was just curious to know, who was it, Marshall McLuhan who that was from, or was it from the other guy he mentioned?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. The alloy wheel?
The alloy wheel to the bullet.
Anybody got a clue what that word means?
He mentioned it in some of the lectures that have been done from, I'm not sure if it's Eric's lecture or the one that he was talking about from the paper, the research that he'd done himself. And he mentioned the alloy wheel melted into a bullet. And I just thought it was strange because listening previously about the shopping cart, you know, we could extend that from the alloy wheel or the shopping cart to the bullet.
Hey, Ion, in Robert's case, we have like two or three Roberts speaking in that sentence there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Robert, you're three people. That's why we can't understand what you're talking about. You've got three different people's experience in that paragraph you just uttered.
Oh, right. Maybe it's the acoustics on the Dell laptop.
No, it's what we said it was. There's three of you speaking.
Okay. Well, I'll try and amplify it to four, then to five.
We finally figured him out. That's amazing. There you go, Robert.
Oh, my God.
Robert figured out at
6:43. And y'all thought he was just fucked up, didn't you?
He's got a handle on it.
And I considered there were more than one person talking.
So it's like that. You asked, how do you do that? Can you see it? Is it apparent? There it is. Oops, there it is.
I mean, there's no record of talking about alloy wheels. We know that's another Robert's experience somewhere.
No, there was something about a bullet, Bob. Remember?
Yeah, it was melted down to make a bullet.
Theosophy and myth and bullets.
It's also words create reality, because inside they're talking about melting alloy wheels into bullets, and then outside there's someone getting shot.
No, that was not discussed in my hearing.
Yeah, it was discussed. Brian was reading something.
When was this, tonight or other days?
Yes, tonight.
About an hour ago.
Brian never read anything.
Yes, he was reading.
Everybody's hallucinating. The group these are group robotoids who are talking.
Right.
Brian number one.
Brian, okay. What was he talking about, alloys?
Yeah, the bullet. He was quoting.
Oh, okay. That's Brian. All right. Okay, you're right on that point. Okay, you're just one person.
But we think Tabitha has the best views on the whole thing so far tonight.
Who does?
Tabitha.
Well, Tabitha's not here, as we know her. You mean the TV character?
Y'all better go get Bob and see if you can bring him into the show now.
Yeah, there's only half of Bob listening.
Is it Bewitched, Tabitha?
Yeah. No, Bob had half of Bob, not just some.
That's how I have half a cum sometimes.
Uh-huh. Well, I do love this storytelling that happens, and it was brilliant. I mean, Greenbra was excellent. She was telling a story about this squeaky wheel shopping cart, and I was just thinking, like, what happens if you just melted the whole cart and turned that into a bullet?
It wasn't the squeaky wheel. This is the story, the Florida story.
That guy should have kidnapped you.
No, I could see the connection. I could see a definite connection between the supermarket and the academic faculty.
How come no one's calling Ian? He said I said there were three Bobs. Then we found out there was actually one Robert was talking accurately. So that refutes Ian saying there were three Roberts. Anybody want to take Ian on that point?
I mean, I had a lot of synchronicity with the guy talking because I went to a lecture this week at my old university. That's the reason why I guess I'm chiming in. It was great. You know, I really liked it. They were talking about the workplace, the arts, the theatrical things that are happening. But also he touched upon the reasons for holding on to these academic things, for films, for making films, for creating the narratives when need be, when certain things happen.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Rob, you got a question for Ion?
Yeah, I mean, I'm leading up to it. The question is, I've already heard it announced and admitted, is why is it when people kind of, their position dissolves, they move into the movie industry to write narratives for films which need to be delivered to the local or whole world? Why do they need to make these narratives so accurate in order to convey their message?
They're not. They're not accurate.
I'm nodding my head. But the imagination needs...
They're accurate because they put them out there. And you think you're watching a movie, but the movie's watching you. It's not accurate.
Yeah.
It's just up to you.
That's
you make it accurate.
Hey, Ian, can you prove that the movie's watching us? How do you support that statement?
They change. They change. Once it starts, you only see one actor. And that actor you're watching now, that's the only actor that can play on any movie. There's tons and tons and tons of people who are in Hollywood who make movies. But all of a sudden, somebody gets hot, and they're the only person. They have to see every person. It goes back to that. Every movie, that one movie will be able to be fighting for the box office money, and it'll be three same people for the same three different movies that are the same competing against themselves, because they have to see everyone watching the movie. Directors.
Of course, you are not making any sense. You want to make it simple, what you're trying to say?
Not particularly.
Tom Cruise?
No. Yeah, see,
Tom
he's rather complicated.
What?
I mean, we're trying to find out how movies look at you, and you go into one guy gets a gig doing something, and then it takes off, and then he gets all the other movies.
And that's been the only movies, the only people who can be in that movie or all movies is that actor. That proves that the movie is watching you.
How does the content prove that the movie's watching you?
The content doesn't, but the individual, that one actor would be competing amongst himself. For the top box office buy-ins, that you'd be competing for those dollars. Of all the actors that are actors, why couldn't everybody have a movie that they're doing? Because, okay, got to take a break.
Okay, well, that's good, because that was going nowhere. Okay, I can now take questions. We'll get some clarity here. Anybody want to ask me something?
Yeah, okay, Bob. Well, put it this way, because we were talking about the narrative, not necessarily the actor acting out, because they're just getting paid the same proportion of the amount of money that's available to make the film. All films have to be produced, but then when these outside writers who are brought in, not from the book, the original book, but they're brought in to bring in a current message that needs to
be
addressed.
Do you like listening to yourself talk, Rob? Is that what's going on here?
No. These are things that came up from the lecture and then listening to Greenbaugh, you know, if that's her name, Greenbaugh.
That's your question. Is that her name? Yes, that's her name.
Really,
so you went to a lecture which had nothing to do with anything else, and see, you didn't stay on topic. You didn't even make a question. You ended up asking if Greenbrough was her name.
Well, I guess by talking about the film, I'm getting a bit confused with the weird science of it all, but and the name of people. But you know how I work, Bob. I just listen, and then I'll give what I know from this week, and then I'll just open my mouth, and that's it.
Well, don't be limited to that. Try something different. It's not working in this form.
That's why I'm reading James Joyce. I'm just doing other people's stuff.
Well, you're probably one person who shouldn't read James Joyce. You already live like he writes, and that's not working out for you. So you should maybe read Dr. Seuss or something.
I'll take that as a compliment, Bob. Thanks.
No. Forget it. I'm not complimenting you or damning you.
My father likes Dr. Seuss. I'm all right with that.
Oh, okay. Well, now we can take a break from me. Okay, Ion, do you want to explain how movies are looking at us? Without bringing in the content, a bunch of convolutions about some actor's contract and how they didn't make the cut, and then they made their own movies, and then the other guy got all the movies. So that wasn't a very good answer. How are movies looking at us?
Because they're on a screen.
All right. The screen's the TV camera looks at us. The screen doesn't. It's projected from the back of the room.
Not always.
Not always. There's rear projection, yes. So not always. So McLuhan used to say that you look at the screen in movie case, but TV looks at you because the light charges out of you. The charge of the light barricade, quoting Fitting's weight, comes right at you. And that's true that you are the screen. The TV is looking at you. Is that what you're referring to or some other level that McLuhan didn't mention?
That works.
Well, for one, Bob and I, on these films now, you've got to think about where they're watching it. So they're not just watching it in the cinema anymore. They're watching it on their laptop, or they're watching it in small groups.
Well, you know, Robert, try to take this thought in. McLuhan said that you don't have movies on TV. You're watching TV. Try to catch this, Robert. Try to stop and listen. You are right. Yeah. There is no cinematic experience anymore the way it was, you know, in the 20th century. No one has that experience anymore.
No, the drive-by's gone.
No, that's drive-in, not drive-by, the drive-in.
Yeah. I'm getting confused.
And next question.
The shopping cart.
Hey, you have a question for Ion? Why don't you address Ion? Do you dare to, Rob? You're always
asked Ion a question before.
I know. We're going to let you ask Ion a question.
Okay. I want to ask about the future because he brought it up. And I think he said that the futurist is more interesting. So I want to ask about my own future and my career because this week I'm at a bit of a crossroads.
Ask a question.
Is it the book or the shopping cart?
That's bullshit. Ask a question, not code. You want to ask me about your future? I say something in particular. You can't do that. You don't know how to do that. You don't know how to take yourself as one person and direct a question about that one person at Ion. Maybe he fell off the line. I think he disconnected. So there's an example of someone so disconnected, they finally approach Ion and they knock themselves off. Next. Did you notice who spoke before you? Did anybody speak? Are you guys listening to notice that someone got in ahead of you? And whoever got in first gets to speak. And you all know that.
Okay, that was me. Did the soldier that was killed and that was spoken about earlier, is Bob's theory correct that he knew too much, and that's the reason that he was shot?
He was about to know too much.
And the shooter himself was a terrorist?
We don't like terrorists. Go ahead.
Okay, he was working for the good. Like, was it a good thing that he stopped the other from knowing too much? Or was, okay, so
it's relative. You'd have to call Martha Stewart for the good part of it, but it wasn't bad.
Okay, he wasn't bad, but...
No, it wasn't bad.
Okay, is this going to be the end of that particular story?
You want it to be?
No, I don't care.
That,
I was...
Look at that, Wendy. That would be, that's Ion's constant message. It's up to you what your relationship, that story is.
Right, and my only relationship, to be perfectly honest, was curiosity to find out if Bob was right or not.
It worked out great for the cat, didn't it?
So
yeah,
that's
you were
a
curious.
Warning.
That was the opening song you weren't aware of, Wendy. Now, here's a nice synchronicity. Zappa's The Old Curiosity Shop was the song that you didn't realize started off the music today. The
oh,
Old
okay.
Curiosity Shop. That's very appropriate into this moment. No, it's like if you take Ion seriously, you would not have any questions. You would just know, well, I will determine what will be my relationship to the Ottawa story. Nobody else is involved. But we encourage the opposite. We pretend to engage in realities outside of ourselves where we don't have a decision or an influence. I am frustrated that, but...
Can you hear me, Bob?
Yes, ask your question directly of Ion.
I blipped out before when I asked the question. I was just curious whether you heard it and whether I got an answer.
No, you didn't, because the question was babble. Ask a direct question.
Say, I still think.
No, I'm giving Rob a chance to get his stupid fucking question out. Address Ion, Rob, simply and directly. What do you want to know?
Okay. Please, Ion,
hey,
I don't want to know.
Hey, mama name.
Is that Roxy? How's my mama?
Is that right? Damn right, it's Roxy. You're fucking, you know, she has priority over you any day, Rob. But I'm putting her, she's a polite for a minute, and we're giving you the microphone, and you're blowing it every 10 seconds.
Mom,
ask your question, Rob.
Well, thanks for asking about my mom. She's all right. She's doing well. She's pretty tough. Is it the book or the shopping cart?
Is what the book or shopping cart? And I don't care if Ion knows, you let us know what it is for the record, what you're referring to.
My future career.
Chick Corea, the musician?
I didn't say I'm a musician.
Is my career the shopping cart or the book, is what you're asking. And what does shopping cart refer to?
Oh, God,
Diff
I don't want to say.
You don't want to say?
Yeah.
Stiff or lamp.
What's Ion saying? Stiff for blimp. Stiff for blimp. What language is that, Ion?
The physical lamp.
Stiffle lamp.
Stiffle lamp. Is that a kind of lamp?
It is.
So, Rob, you ask, you know, little
cart.
Nouns
not
and you get a stupid
cart.
Noun answer.
It is not the cart. It is not the book. It is a stiffle lamp.
There you go, Rob. You know, you ask fucking convolution nothingness, and you get nothingness.
You know, that's what next week means, then. It's going to be nothing. It's what I'm used to.
It's Goran?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ion, is the Icel the super sugar?
No. But the super sugar has the Icel in it.
Does the ice cell get transported into a human cell?
Oh, no. Dr. Dean. Can't have dead air on the radio.
Hi, Ion. What's up?
Hey, we need some... we would desire some interaction. We're doing protease inhibitors with cells, and this very kind of voluminous questioner has brought up his iCell super sugar, and we answered that. We answered if iCell were in super sugars, we answered that. Now he wants to know if iCells actually go into the cell, and we stopped the presses, and we got you right quick because... you have to do the groundwork of laying out of how cells change, how they divide and split. And this is where you bring up the actual connection to how other things get into the cells and how it lays out. Go back to the picture of the actual eye cell itself. And then when you get the lysine place right, the soup, as it were, then it allows eye cells into the cell itself. Now, the question here for you is, does it become the cell, or does it interact with the present cell? So if the eye cell comes into the cell and it changes the cell to make the whole cell the eye cell, that's how you can tell the difference between an ascended cell and a regular cell. Is that your question?
Yes.
Okay, Dr. Neen, go ahead.
Well, that's a big bunch of mouthfuls right there.
Okay, so the question now, let's set that aside for a second. We're going to try to get there, okay? We can answer it, but we may not get to. See, Dr. Dean is the sharpest machete in the shed. So we're going to bring this back to Ebola. Tell us what you know about Ebola, and we're going to make a little confab and maybe answer this gentleman's next question.
Well, Ebola is, what did they call it, a filovirus.
We call it an introvirus, too.
Intro, as far as I know, just means sort of gastrovirus, or I don't know if it means much more than that. But one question I wondered, when there was research being done on HIV in the 70s, was that being done in Zaire, where then in 1976, yes, Ebola yes, sprung forth?
Yes.
Was there any connection between the
yes,
two?
Yes.
Was there some laboratory mishap or laboratory experiment that was involved with the making of Ebola?
That's where AIDS was being done.
That's what I said.
And did you say AIDS? Or you
said, I said HIV.
Oh, okay. Yes, HIV would be connected to this. According to my own personal experience, you would read my diaries in 1971.
Well, congratulations. So the answer to the question is we do not want to say yes, absolutely, and start the conspirators running around giving, what's his name, the new book to write of how Ebola fucked up my HIV kind of thing. You know, that's
it becomes
not the answer to the question. What's happening is they're laying out cells. Cells that cannot be quenched. They're bumping into ascending cells. Cancer cell is a perfect cell. You can't get rid of it. It's perfect. If you had a body full of cancer cells, you win because you can't kill it.
Now, you're jumping to cancer cells. Let's not get distracted. Ebola isn't cancer cells.
Exactly right. But Ebola enters the body. Does Ebola enter the cells of the body?
Well, it has to do the damage
then
it does.
So does the eye cell.
Yeah, but I don't think the eye cell becomes the new cell.
That's the question. That's the question. From a protease inhibitor, what cuts off the reproduction or the reproductory cycle of a cell to replicate the cell, what type cell is being duplicated. The eye cell then would affect the rings and arms of chromosome 14, which would change it invariably in the RNA messaging in the body itself. Is that still okay, or shall that be amended too?
Well, I mean, you've gone on and on there from the word protease inhibitors, which you always throw around as if it's a little, you know, some little red flag in front of me, because protease inhibitors is the name of a class of antiviral drugs used to treat AIDS.
Yes, I don't know
why you keep bringing it up.
Because that research is the very research that they're driving to say, to separate what cells can do, what they can take, what they can't take, what they apply, what they don't apply. Most of the drugs in that level of antiretroviral will actually eradicate the cell, and you die. It makes you sicker than the disease. We bring that up specifically because now what happens is you have little men with little cells. You have this Ebola that's coming and eradicating the bodies. The body count will start, you'll see, and there'll be a lot of strains of this but basically Ebola is one of this. They haven't called it a pandemic yet, but just give it a second. They survived.
Okay, okay. Now, let me just interrupt. Is this a disease where you've said before you get rid of one major fatal disease and the next one will just pop out? Is Ebola popping out of AIDS, the diminishment of AIDS, and now we don't have anything fatal, so we create Ebola?
Yeah, but it's, but well, please, we're not trying to say that they're smart enough to create this out of a test tube. We're not saying that.
Oh, no, no, no. I just mean the human creators, they always want something to overcome.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Worse, worse, worse. So they can be thrilled that they have it as good as they have it in the badness that is.
Right.
I mean, we can bring leprosy back. Leprosy works good for us, but they don't ever have that either.
No problem, no problem. So let's going back then. So then there's this correspondence of Ebola is this little thread-like, like parasitic-looking virus that supposedly jumps into cells as easily as our eye cell gets into cells. So are they duking it out in the cell?
They can.
Mm-hmm.
They can. Once you get your super sugar, correct? Once you change the variant between when you place the, you remember the hearts, the placing the carbons, all the extra, the mapping, the genome mapping, like the little heart thingy thing. Well,
yeah.
This becomes another example of that. And it's easy to catch Ebola. They say it's hard. Well, we say it's easy to ascend, but some of you all say it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You catch ascension. It's systemic. Did you hear that? You catch ascension. It's systemic.
I don't know if Bob would have something to say about that. You catch ascension.
Is the eye cell in the air, too?
It will be. Well, no
is
comment.
The catching? Are they going to spray it on us?
You hope
what?
They spray eye cells on you.
Spray what?
Ebola.
Would you like them
no.
to?
No. I just wondered if that's how it's going to be in the air.
No.
No, I was talking about the eye cell being in the air.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we said, yeah, let's get some of that. Yeah, tear it up.
Mm-hmm.
And we said no comment when it's in the air, because that's coming. When lockdown most blows.
Mm-hmm. So the other thing that's getting into the cells very easily is the picometer minerals. Is that of consequence in this whole Ebola business?
It is.
So it's whatever can work at the cellular level that's very important at this time.
Well, the only thing that's working so far is ascended blood.
Oh, right, right.
So here's what happens. Someone has some antibody in their system that leads itself to ascension, and anyone who gets transfused with that blood doesn't have Ebola. It conquers it. Ta-da! They got that at Emory at the Winship Cancer Center.
Well,
those of us who are taking the RNA drops, we have ascended blood, correct?
You certainly have antibodies that are of ascension.
So are you saying that if we're exposed to Ebola or even exposed to the thought of Ebola, that can scare us into a bigger ascension?
Okay. Then let's ask you a question. How much magnesium, no matter how small, is too much in the system? If you go to a super pico, for example, if you made it half the size it is now, would twice as much be the same?
I don't think any smaller makes any difference because it's small enough now to get into cells. So if it's smaller, it'll just still get into the cells. But to answer your first question, if you take roughly three times what you require, then that will be too much, and you'll just get the laxative effect.
So it's a flushing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If in eye cells, your body, you can't get too much. There is no too much, and it does not flush.
Mm-hmm.
It actually balances the electrolytes, and that's why you want to have your relight to balance it until you can do it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But you're constantly bleeding the system. You're pulling off the electrical conduit, which is the cellular strata. So it's always good to keep that in your system as a balance. But what you're going to find is that the people who don't have this issue are the ones that are in the completement arena. We please don't want to say that take this product and you won't have Ebola. We will personally give you Ebola if you do this because it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about that at all. It's about ascending. Fuck Ebola, ascend, and you won't have to worry about any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Ion.
Hey.
You said that the RNA drop balance the electrolyte, and that's why we need the relight. That didn't make sense to me because the relight is...
Here, hold on. You use the relight until your body can balance its own electrolyte structure. When you're completely ascended, you won't require any of it. You'll be right.
Yes.
But until you do, you do.
And luckily you have it until you do, so it's like you're almost on the verge of being almost there.
Yay.
Ion, is my 12 drops a day of relight enough?
No. 12 drops?
Yes.
Okay.
Of relight or RNA drops, Madeline?
Relight.
Oh, no. Why would it be? 12 drops, that's an eighth of a teaspoon or something.
I know. That's what I can handle.
Yeah, that's a good question, Madeline. Ion, there are a handful of people who say that the relight, when they take more than a few drops or quarter of a teaspoon, that they, quote-unquote, react to it. And
Describe the reaction.
Yeah, and I'm seeing it's like a detox where the minerals are getting into the cells and maybe dumping out, bromines and fluorides and things that the picometer iodine is sort of helping them bump out. And I just tell people to keep slowly taking a little amount until they can detox.
Okay,
is that what's happening?
Yes, but we say take a teaspoon, or a tablespoon.
All right. So, Ion, it sounds like in order to get up to a tablespoon of relight, instead of eating whatever I like, I would have to go on the stringent candida diet and detox that way, and then I would be able to handle the relight. Is that correct?
No, it's not correct.
No.
We got it all.
Yeah, these things are clashing in my experience. So.
And it's because, okay, here we go. Some people say that if they drink coffee, caffeine, before bed, they can't sleep. Some people say that. But we say if you have enough caffeine, you can have a cup of coffee, go to bed, and go to sleep. It becomes a temporal balance. And all this other stuff that you're wooing and petting and working on, we'd say blast it out. If it's candida you want more of, okay, but Dr. Dean doesn't like them.
So what you're saying is take a tablespoon of relight, go through an epic detox that would probably put me out of work for days because it's debilitating, and just be done with it?
Describe debilitating.
Nausea, fatigue, body pain everywhere,
increase your RNA drop. Describe the number of RNA drops you take.
I take a dropper and a half full. I don't know how many drops it is. It's a big squirt. It's a big squirt and a medium squirt. At least once a day, sometimes twice a day. I try to do twice a day, but I seem to...
And that works just fine. And that doesn't send you into dysteria, throwing up, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't have anything.
No, the RNA drops don't, but the Relight definitely causes pretty extreme discomfort in my physical beingness if I take more than a few drops.
Do you take them at night, at day, with food,
day.
Without food?
I try
Why
to
not at night?
Food.
Why not at night without food?
Okay, I'm willing to try that. I haven't tried that. I'll try it.
Do it. And we'll just be brave. Throw that dropper thing in the garbage. Throw it away. You don't need it. Get rid of the dropper thing or put it somewhere where you don't get access to it. Get you one of those little medicine things and do a half a teaspoon at bed and drink a little water.
Okay.
Do that and don't have any bullshit. I don't feel good. Blah, blah, blah. That doesn't work. Take a 9 milliliter and blow your brains out. Then we'll call it
No, that's not an option. I want to be here to
okay,
see
then. Get on with it. So we find it interesting that the thing that would get you rightest is the thing that for you makes you sickest.
It's very
irritating. That I have to do this, so I'm going to be debilitated. And so we're going, what?
But that's not what I consciously thought when I was excited to take it. And then I didn't know what was happening to me and figured out eventually that it was every time I took the Relight, I felt like shit. So I decreased the dose to where it's manageable, and that's like 12 drops.
But see, that is manageable.
Last week you told me to do a tablespoon of Remag BID straight up like a man.
Yeah.
I did that. I did that and it burned. Oh my God, all the way down my gullet and burned in my belly and then rumbled through my intestines until it squirted out the other end in the laxative effect. It was pretty dramatic.
That's good. That was good.
You know, Madeline, that I don't endorse any of these words that Ian is saying, just so you know.
Well, so here's what happened. I did that 2 or 3 times, and then I thought, okay, let's try taking this in the spirit of what Ion's saying as opposed to the letter of it, like maybe not literally. So you were telling me that I was pissing away most of it by mixing it with water. So I thought, all right, I'll do a lot with very little water, you know, to where I can take.
That's not a lot.
Oh, I do feel
that's
better.
Not a lot.
Hey, she feels better. Stop it.
I do feel better. I think you were right about I need it in a more concentrated dose, but it doesn't have to be a tablespoon straight up. That was nuts. Maybe I really did need that flushing. I don't know. Did I?
Well, it certainly didn't hurt.
Well, thank God I didn't have to go to work that morning.
It's not like you got the runs for weeks. I mean, you go to the bathroom when you're done.
No. Yeah, that's true.
Going. Come on.
All right, so you're saying that if I do the same thing with the Relight, if I take, what did you say, 2 teaspoons?
No, it's only a teaspoon and a half is the standard dose.
Before bed.
But we're saying take a half a teaspoon.
Oh, okay.
Before
half
bed.
A teaspoon
half
before
a teaspoon
bed.
Before
just
bed
a little water.
With a little water. And that's it.
Because I do want the greasy cells.
You want them more than you know.
I know.
Now, describe your Realign experience.
Realign is interesting. I don't know what's going on with that. I don't have any discomfort with it, but it definitely does interesting things to my urine, and it changes all the time. sometimes it's very strong smelling, sometimes it's dark, and sometimes it's light, and sometimes it's bright green, and it's always changing. I don't know what, but I can take it. That's not
Yeah,
bad.
Okay. Yeah, Karen, schedule her an exorcism. Let's get this out of her.
Yes, sign me up.
You hold her, Karen. We'll do it. Well, we'll chelate you the last of all on there. You'll be all right.
Cause the enema.
So, all right, I'll just shut up and do what you say, and we'll see.
Why? No, you can talk. You have the ability to do that.
Well, I wonder if the reason I have trouble with the Relight is because of the candida in my body and all the toxic stuff that causes, if it's making me detox too fast. And if I should go on the candida diet again so that I could handle the Relight better.
We wish that it never told you what candida was.
Well, I knew about it before I knew about you.
We're sorry.
The thing is, I can't stand that fucking diet.
Then don't do it. Blast it out. Blast it out. You like
blast it out.
Blast it out.
So taking the Relight before bed is going to help blast that shit out?
Well, let's see. We're funny about candida. We think a little bit of that is not so bad.
I agree.
Fauna,
I think
the
so.
The flora fauna business is okay.
We require a little bit.
What I am saying is that you're not sick. You got no problems. So we're going to move on to someone else, okay? Okay, Madeline? You okay with that? You have no problems. You are hallucinating like fucking nuts in Oakland. Get the hell out of Oakland.
Before the Bay Bridge falls.
I drove by Oakland. Oh, my God, was that a horrible vibe.
Hey, Bob?
Yes?
I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one with this sort of issue.
Oh, yes, you are. There's nobody else in your universe. That's what we learned from Ian. There's nobody else here. It's only you.
Right.
You know.
So me and Ian are chatting, Bob, butt out.
No, no, you've had enough.
You're not real, Bob.
You're learning too much. Yeah, yes, I am. Not for you. We can flip you out any time.
That's fine. We can move on.
What is that, 415?
I'm muting myself.
Yeah, there's the number. Yeah, I muted you first.
Okay, Ian.
Hey.
Hey, last night when I was in my guest room, it sounded like someone else was walking around in my apartment. And
yes.
I've had some activity here, and I want to know, is that one of my other selves, or is it my kinetic energy, or do I have a visitor?
It's your grandmother.
My grandmother, okay. Yeah, because she passed not that long ago.
Yeah, she ain't gone yet, so she's just rumbling around.
Okay, thanks.
Is this Susan or Stephanie?
This is Randy.
Holy shit. Okay.
This is Tony. This is Tony. This is Tabitha. This is LaQuisha. It's LaQuisha. Yeah. Welcome, Shetonia. How you doing? Okay, so here's the thing. Do you remember her casserole, her famous casserole that was always famous?
No, we don't remember that. I have no memory of that.
No.
I'm included. I'm the only thing that's real here.
There was a casserole dish that she made. It was like a one-pot soup.
You got the wrong guy. That's Stephanie's grandmother. You're mixing people up.
No, we're talking to Shetonia.
Shetonia.
So there was this wonderful, it's like a Kugel potato casserole thing.
Okay.
Did you eat that? Do you know this dish?
Well, there is, like, my favorite potato. It's got milk in it. I can't think of what it's called.
Not scallop potatoes. That's not what we're talking about. It's like scallop potatoes.
No, I just don't remember, Ian.
You never ate your grandmother's favorite dish?
Not that I'm aware of. But
well, no wonder she's hanging around.
But I'm sure you have a point about all this.
You're supposed to cook that dish so she can smell it and have that ambience that everything is okay, because she doesn't think everything is okay.
With me? Or
yes.
With her?
You. She knows she's okay.
I can ask my mom if...
There's
no
good. There's not, yes, that's right. There's no connection. See, you're not connected to anything. She's troubled by this.
Like with people?
Yeah. Yes, those vulgar vessels that stroll around. Yes, those are the ones. Those vulgar vessels. That's the one. Yes, that's the one. Your disconnection seemingly moves you too far out for her. So she's hanging out.
Oh, okay.
Find out the dish. Cook it. If you don't know how to cook it, learn. Bring
all right.
And show you how to cook.
Okay.
Eat segment, eat it. See that you like it. Let it slide down your throat hole. And if you have candida, it'll cure that too.
I'm not worried about that.
Do you notice this funny smell? Do you remember the funny smell? You got up the other morning, you're like, what's the smell?
I have noticed smells.
It's almost like a funky tea rose.
Mm. Is it like a perfume?
Tea rose is a perfume, yeah.
Yes, because it was perfume that I smelled.
Is it like a funky tea rose? Mm-hmm.
And that's her?
Yes. It's amazing. You don't even know your own grandmother's perfume. Mm. Close, were you?
I thought so.
Mm. What was her favorite color?
I don't know.
What was her favorite food?
I don't know.
Did she like water?
She liked tea. Coffee.
Good.
Is she right? Am I disconnected?
When you listen to the archives, we're trying to make it as obvious as we possibly can make it obvious without being obvious.
Well, do you have any recommendations for me then?
Yeah, here in the real world, Alan Jackson.
Instead of my head?
Yeah.
Okay.
And in 4 or 5 millennia, you can probably have that song on your own show.
I don't know what to say right now.
That's okay. Ask the question.
I've been thinking about that. I live all these things in my head, and I want to know how to go from my head to my little kingdom. I do want that connection and not the disconnection.
Not little kingdom, Randy. Huge kingdom. I thought I heard you say you wanted to get to your little kingdom. Did you say little kingdom?
Oh, no, middle. From out of my head into my middle, into my reality, into my now. You know,
that's already happening. Go for the already recorded. Don't go for the now. That's been recorded.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what's already recorded. It's like I know I have this relationship with whoever it is because it already exists. But it's like the stuff that's just been in my head instead of...
Cowboys don't cry. Heroes don't die. And good always wins again and again. And love is a sweet dream. That always be true.
Hey, Roxana, you got a question?
Listening to what has been said, many questions, but I think they're all somehow related because we were talking today about this anthropomorphic physical, and I was reading they want to name a new age like the Anthropocene age, like how humans affected the atmosphere and the air. But I was thinking, before there were humans, there was an air. But we are supposed to have created everything.
You
did. So in my mind, I'm like trying to understand that and try to understand how all the changes that have been happening, I would like to know the sequence. Like you always said, first the gulf has to be emptied, and then the RNA drops, and there will be less oxygen, and all this sequence of changes in the environment, but also in the body. What has been happening?
32 feet per second starts to apply. It gets faster and faster and faster.
Yes, and then now at the end, I was also thinking that since I discovered you, I just could not stop, and I had no interest in anything else. Like, I just wanted to listen to you, and I don't want to relate, or it's not important anymore, all this mortar.
Well, and that's so, okay, because all that's done is it's moved you higher in the food chain. You're not interested in what you used to. Jerry Springer doesn't do it for you anymore.
But I think there is something, in some ways we're connecting, but we're disconnecting with many things around us. Like things going on in Mexico, everybody wants me to engage in these demos or do something. And I mean, there is a big die-off in Mexico. Like I think 100,000 people have died since this new president. And I don't feel like I would feel before, for example, sadness or... Because I know it's part of a big process. But there are many things mixing here that I just want to know... what does this, for example, has to do with Iron Dome, and what is really happening?
What you allow.
Yes, I can get that. Because at the end, it's everything between you and you, and it's you alone.
And see, if everybody in your world died, you would notice. If everyone in your world died, you would notice.
Why not?
Is that a reference to the Book of the Dead?
There is reference to it in the Book of the Dead.
So, Roxana, if everybody died, would you notice?
Yes, but I would think this is part of this process of ascension, of becoming a new environment.
Becoming the unenvironment.
Yeah. Seeing how Bob engaged was very helpful for me, because he really paid attention to everybody. And he told me you have to be detached and involved at the same time. So that helped. Maybe it helps others.
Go to the How Ionic 2010 YouTube channel and do the Vestal Goodman Too Near Home. We used to do it on the show, but there's too many now. So you have to do it yourself. That'll answer your, that'll help you.
I like that. It won't answer your question. It'll help you. I changed. Note that.
Will assist me.
It'll assist you on your way.
Bob could play it for you, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah. Could you just make like a very short summary of all the changes from...
Ion, you have the emptying of the guff was a marker you told us in 2010. What had to happen before that? The android meme?
Synesthesia.
Synesthesia, okay, that's the android meme. And then the guff happened. Was there, okay, so was there anything in non-physical that had to happen before the guff emptied?
Yes, humans had to present and not do it.
So that's most of the 20th century. Then the guff empties. What happens after that? Are there phases after that?
Then you had to set up the distance between heaven and hell.
Okay.
You had to make a heaven and a hell.
We have to make it?
You do. You don't have to, but you do.
Ion, what do you mean by humans have to present and not do it?
Oh, you have to verify your position. You have to set the judge. You have to set the judge.
Okay, so then Roxana asked Carolyn, what is the corresponding effects in the body of these phases? So the android meme, what was that phase? The synesthesia. What was going on in the body during the synesthesia phase before the guff emptied?
Turmoil. Revelation 23.
Then you said people had to get really trapped and not do what they were hoping to do. What happened in the body during that phase, the general human body?
It regressed.
Does that mean acquired cancers and diseases?
No.
They did all
kinds
weak?
Of things. Some got fat, no matter what
right.
they did. Some got sick and bone problems and costal chondritis and all type of fibromyalgia. Huh, that's the new fun one.
Then there's a big die-off. Big die-off and the guff empties. What happens to the body after the guff empties?
It's done. If you leave your body, you're done.
What about those that stay are still here and are not dying?
Then your body will do what it continues to do and perfect itself.
So we are in that phase now.
Yes.
We can agree to call that the hexadica phase, the tumultuous phase of ascension.
We'd say there's nothing to turn back to.
Can you mention the chapter and verse from Genesis that we're in right now?
16.
Genesis 1:16.
Why did you say which chapter?
You didn't say.
Genesis, which chapter would be 16?
Which verse?
All of it. They asked which chapter, Bob.
Good, good. We are now in chapter 16 of Genesis.
This is about Hagar and Ishmael. And Abram's wife had borne no children.
Who represents Abram's wife?
We didn't say.
And I have to hunt this person before this person.
Oh, you fucking idiot. Wait, where's his?
I know, Kiki.
Fucking asshole.
Just calm down for a second.
His little man voice. The littlest man in the universe, Kiki, shows up with his little fucking nonsense.
It's Kiki time. Are you going to behave?
Right,
he'll mute you. I'll play with you.
He's muted. He got muted. Look, he comes in as Hoffpower, J-H-O-F-F-P-A-U-I-R. What kind of ridiculous name is that? J, somebody's cell phone he stole. J. Hoffpower. Anybody want to phone Kiggy? 937-606-2690. Give him a call. Have fun with him. 937-606. Shut up while I read the number. 937-606-2690. Give our good buddy Kiggy a call and ask him about what's better, Korea or lesbians.
Or lesbians?
Yes, that's what he does. That's the kind of questions we get from Kiggy.
Nice. Wonderful.
Nice. Nice move, Bob. Well executed. Okay, back to your normal people.
Ion, did you say Agar or Hagar?
Hagar.
I was going to ask about Freddie Mercury.
You want to speak English, buddy?
Queen Freddie Mercury, yes. Yeah.
What number
Mercury.
Are you? It's fine. Let's search him down and mute this
Mercury.
Guy.
Mercury.
Freddie Mercury. Are you intimidated, little Freddie? Are you intimidated? You can't hold your water here?
Okay, let's hear from Freddie Mercury.
Okay. Radio Gaga, go ahead.
Are you still dancing?
Okay, that's Rob. Rob's not eligible. He hadn't paid his dues this week. Okay, next question.
Yeah, I was wondering about Rob Ford.
Yes, Daniel Libby, our great correspondent from Toronto. Did you hear Greg told me that Adam Vaughn took advantage? The fuck was that? Was that you, Carolyn? Okay, down watching horror movies. Anyways, the Greg Duffel was telling me, Daniel, that while the assassination was happening, Adam got locked into a closet with the Nazi who represents Rosedale, the Ukrainian Nazi, and he called in to be the media guy and say, "We're right here in the middle of the storm, and it's not CKLN, it's CBC." Adam Vaughn, did you know about that, Daniel?
No, I hadn't heard about the closet. I did see he recently was on social media with Trudeau. He did an interview with Trudeau, like they're back and forth talking about the legalization of cannabis. So that's one of their big issues.
Is that right? Justin's into legalizing, eh? Too bad they haven't heard about us. Adam will keep our knowledge of us from all Canadians for the rest of his career. You watch that. He will not mention Dobstown.
He's a leading member of Team Trudeau. They're calling it Team Trudeau.
Which is Team Andy Bob. That's what that is. And Daniel, you're our mole. You're our mole. Right inside, you have access to all the levels, and you report here regularly, which we appreciate. Do you have something to ask, Ion?
I wanted to ask about Rob Ford because the mayor of Toronto election is on Monday. It's coming up.
Oh, wow. Okay, who's leading in the polls?
Well, John Tory pretty much led almost every poll there actually has been this whole election, so... Seems
is
like
John Tory.
Right
is Doug coming close?
I think he'll be close, but they actually did a profile today in the Toronto Star. And then this is what I was wondering about, because he talked about why he's running for mayor. He said they had a doctor's appointment and that Rob Ford told the doctor he didn't want to do the chemo anymore. And then the quote says the doctor looked at him and said, "You'll be dead by Christmas." And I was just saying, this is pretty scary. The modern medicine is like...
Yeah, they're the ghoulish. You know, Daniel, the big story is that I am related to Doug Ford, and one of Doug Ford's closest relatives is on the phone right now. Right now.
Oh, awesome.
I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, Doug Ford's relative is here listening to Ion, not on behalf of Doug Ford, but for themselves. And I have permission to announce that, in case anybody's concerned.
I was surprised when I read the quote, though, today, because just because Toronto Star, it's like usually Doug Ford. I wouldn't expect Doug Ford to be that open with Toronto Star, just from all the stuff I've heard him talk about the media conspiracy and stuff with that they set up. But if that's true, it's like I could see why Rob Ford wouldn't run for mayor. If, like, you know, it's almost a scary thing if a doctor tells you that. But.
Okay, stop thinking. Ask your question of Ion.
Well, I guess I'd ask is why would Rob Ford bring the cancer onto himself?
He doesn't have cancer.
What's he got? Has he got antibiotics or something? What's his problem? What's his solution, Ion? What's the solution he acquired for himself?
Getting high.
So he's using this excuse to get high. What's he getting high on?
Fentanyl.
See, Daniel, you could go on, if there was a CKLN, whatever media have access to, you have an exclusive here. You can go on tomorrow and announce that.
And then he'll probably be a counselor on Monday, because he's still running for city council.
Okay, good.
What will Adam Vaughn's position be in after the 2015 election?
John Tory.
And John Tory is the... His father was the most powerful guy in Canada, according to Nelson Thal. So Ian's confirming it. Adam will become the new John Tory. All because he used to be on the International Connection back in 1985. You can hear it in the archives.
Yeah, that's true.
It's all about me, Daniel. You know that, right?
That's why I figure that the Team Trudeau will get in. Ian, would you say that Team Trudeau will get in by 2015? Election.
If you like, it's okay with us.
All right. I just want to see some of these predictions, because then if they come true, it's like...
Ion doesn't do that, Daniel. He calls them dog tricks, parlor tricks. He won't do it.
Parlor tricks.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Ion knows too much to focus on anything, because it already happened.
They gave the Pentagon codes to the California missile base. That didn't go real good. Kiko de Los Alamos, they caught on fire. That didn't go good. We gave the address for 121 Depot Street. That idiots that did
go
this
good.
And now they found it, and then they noticed the gold's there and not there, and that didn't go good. And then we found that told some other very salacious, specific things in McLean, Virginia. They had to move. It didn't go good. And we talked about the hay and the details of the hay and how it connects to the other side, and that didn't go good. So,
yeah, it's I guess that's the dangerous part of Iandam. But then I guess the term good is relative, too, I guess, or it's different people have different opinions on good, I guess.
Dude.
Yeah. So the show Leftovers, I don't know if I can talk about it, really, if not many people have seen it, or if Bob hasn't seen it yet.
No, I haven't seen that.
Sort of I don't know if it's not really the guff emptying, maybe it's the guff filling up again, because it's sort of where people disappear. Is that,
okay.
If there was an incident on Earth where people disappeared, would that be the guff filling back up?
No.
They could, like, disappear into, like, a void that's not the guff.
Right.
Daniel, last night I went through 100 TV shows that I've been watching over the last 5 years and asked how much J.W. wrote or contributed to the script and the outlay of the show. I got a percentage, and then Ian asked me to keep it classified. But just want to tell you, we know what the J.W.s have contributed to each show we've heard about the last 5 years.